You know I wanted to join up with the new generation. They wouldn't sign me. Too young. Impossible.
Hey, boy, keep your mouth shut. Let a real man speak.
Go ahead.
You know, I always knew that Diamond Dallas Page was a champion. And in 1995, I proved it to the world when I was voted the most improved wrestler of the year and won my first television world title.
Hey. You profess to get things straight. It's the world television title, Page.
Whatever, divot head. The bottom line is, 95, I was live. And in 96, baby, I'm going to be even better. Which brings me to some unfinished business.
Let's hear it.
With one Johnny B. Bozo. Johnny, you got the belt and you got my girl. Well, I can't go on. I can't get straight until we get this all taken care of. So I'm asking you one more time, Johnny. I'm asking you for one more rematch. I want to get it on one more time. It reminds me of Flair and Hogan. It reminds me of Frazier and Ali. Let's get it on one more time, Johnny. Let's trip the light fandango. What do you say, baby?
Sounds like a challenge to me from Diamond Dallas Page. Right now, let's get you back up to the ring.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Oh, hello.
We have one hell of a program for you this evening. We're going to be joined here in moments by Mr. Diamond Dallas Page.
What?
That's right, Travis. Conversation with Diamond Dallas Page coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, I wanted to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new hot musical being cast right now on the Broadways.
Oh, that sounds great. What is it?
They're making Friday Night Lights the musical.
So it wasn't enough that Friday Night Lights was a movie, and then
they made
into
it into a TV
television show that lasted, what, like five years?
Well-received TV show. I mean, I think it was critically reviewed well, but
I don't think a lot of people watched Friday Night Lights.
Did they?
Yeah, I think a lot of people watched Friday Night Lights.
But what in that... And granted, this is me coming from a place of never seeing either the movie or the television program.
Mm-hmm.
How can you make a music? It's about high school football, right?
Well, the movie, I like the movie. It gets a little dark in places. It's kind of like Varsity Blues, but like if you removed all of the humor.
It has the country singer that did the song with Nelly.
Yeah, it's Tim McGraw plays the drunk dad of
dad, and he wants his son to be really good at football. And
his son's not that good at football,
and he's disappointed.
He just doesn't like it. He just doesn't want to play football, but he's
forced
to.
I'm not
going to
live your life.
That's the other one, isn't it? Isn't that Varsity Blues?
Now, Varsity Blues, the musical, I would go see.
I would absolutely see that, especially if they recreated the whipped cream bikini.
Right. So, Friday Night Lights, the musical.
The thing about Friday Night Lights, the musical, like, I don't understand how you can make a sports musical, first of all. Like, where are you going? Where on... Like, you... How are you going to do that? Like, you got to get a bunch of people on stage to pretend like they're playing football, and you have to mime, like, throwing a pass. And then you have to mime catching a pass. And you have to mime kicking a field goal.
And if...
Cheerleaders.
If you're doing football on a stage with actors... Are they actually going to be throwing the football and catching the football? So do you have to cast someone who can demonstrate the abilities of throwing a perfect spiral and catching said spiral?
Live, on stage,
right,
in front of an
consistently,
audience.
Because the plot depends on their ability to catch a good pass.
Well, my fear is with something like this, well, I mean, the whole thing scares me, but my fear with Friday Night Lights the musical or any kind of sports thing like that, it's like you're not going to see the action. What they're going to do is they're going to pull all of the off-field stuff, and it's going to be all about how you have to impress your father.
So there's going to be some locker room speeches.
Locker room speeches, yep.
Inspirational songs.
You're going to find out that the cheerleader that you're dating is not really good for you because she's also sleeping with your running back.
Oh, no.
And, like, the nerdy girl that sits in the stands watching is the one you should really be with.
The one with the ponytail and the glasses.
And the glasses and the overalls.
Right.
Absolutely. Paint covered, I believe.
And then she's gonna take out that ponytail and whoa, boy.
Can you believe she was under our nose the entire time?
I don't believe it. Let's sing a song. So you're going to have a bunch of theater fellas out there wearing football jerseys and and singing songs and not playing football, but they're always about to go play a game, right? The game's always about to start, but you never actually get to the game.
And sometimes they'll run in from the field into the locker room all sweaty and talk about the game they just had.
What do you think that phenomenon is that now all of our musicals are from television and movies? Like, we got Spider-Man, the musical, and The Addams Family, the musical, and Legally Blonde, the musical.
Well, I think it's the same thing where TV and movies are. Like, nobody wants to create something that's not a completely safe bet. And I'm sure it translates to ticket sales for like a musical show, where if you see this randomly titled musical and you have no idea what it's about, you're much less likely to shell out $150 for a ticket as you are for something called Friday Night Lights, the musical, you know, where they can put a picture of like a guy throwing a football on the playbill. And you're going to know exactly what the hell that is.
You know what I would like is if they named it Friday Night Lights and then it actually had nothing to do with football or Friday Night Lights. They tricked you to go seeing an original property just that happened to be named.
Right. It's about like an inner city problem child that discovered that they have HIV or something and they really wanted to be an artist and they're trying to get that one last painting in the gallery before they die.
I almost wonder if, like, we should rename the podcast Fast and the Furious 8.
I think that's
just
probably...
Welcome to the Fast and the Furious 8 podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm not completely against that. You could go classic, too. You could just call it The Godfather. You know what I mean?
The Godfather 4, the podcast. Did you notice that I changed the name of the podcast Facebook?
I did. Did you do that for potential guests in case they looked us up on social media?
I'm trying to make it as difficult as possible for people to actually find out what the name of the show is.
And sure.
The reason is I feel like we're in our 30s, Travis. We're too old for this shit, you know?
Right.
And I feel like if you're sitting there on Facebook and your Aunt Kathy sees a post from WFOD podcast that you've shared, she's a lot less likely to be freaked out than what it was really long before. It was like the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks weekly podcast, I think. And that's just so many words.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right too. I think people, even if they do listen to the show, are much more likely to share something that doesn't say Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
I'm sick of being edgy radio guy, Travis. I want to do something that is good, and I don't want to constantly have to feel like, oh God, if we don't put enough, you know, fart and pussy jokes in this episode, is it not going to be good?
Yeah,
is it not going to be us?
And I think you're right too. I think, you know, like saying, you know, in my 30s, like obviously poop and farts are still funny because that's timeless. But I find myself more and more in any kind of entertainment, once it goes down that rabbit hole of pussy jokes and dick jokes too much, like if they're pushing it, I don't hold it in the same reverence that I did when I was a teenager, that I thought, man, this is good stuff. Like, he really got to the bottom of that dick joke. You know what I mean? But yeah, it would be nice to be more like, let's, you know, bring our point of view across to things, but like, this is what we're interested in. Like,
right.
You know, not edgy. Like,
and it's still
like
the name
guy
of the show.
Right.
But we don't need to like wave the flag.
Sure. Right. Exactly.
So let's do the interview. Let's have fun.
Diamond Dallas Page. You did this one solo. I'm excited.
I did. And it went well. He was a pleasure to talk to. So enjoy it. Let us know what you think. let him know what you think.
Yeah, let him know what you think.
RealDDP on Twitter. And we'll be back in just a minute.
There is no next time. There is no second chance. There is no time out. Strangelabel.com.
Tell me your secret, what you desire. I will still be there for you. And tell me you need it. Tell me something you're not. Still be there for you. And say you believe in all of your lies. Tell me you feel it and don't compromise. Oh no. I will still be there for you. You light in my dreams, light up my skin. You're so far away.
Hello and welcome back. Our guest is former wrestling superstar and current fitness guru, Diamond Dallas Page. His DDP Yoga app will be available on Black Friday. For more information, check out ddpyoganow.com. Dallas, thank you for setting aside the time to talk to us.
My pleasure, man.
Your publicist sent me over the resurrection of Jake the Snake last night. I just got done watching it like a half hour ago. Man. It's powerful, man. It's weird to see like your childhood hero in such a rough state. I mean, Jake the Snake was like 6-year-old Mike's Batman. And...
Exactly, I get it, man.
Yeah, I had the little finger puppets, and I guess you know Batman stays in his 30s, but it was intense, and seeing the transformation throughout of it. I mean, it's like a testimonial to DDP yoga, I guess, and the really just having like positive influences in your life.
You know, people have no problem talking about negative stuff, you know, like, oh God, today's going to suck. You know, oh, I hate what I have to do here. Oh my, no one's going to like me. You know, what if I fail? I can't do it. Like, people have no problem filling their mind with negative bullshit.
It's easy, I guess.
It blows my mind. But it's just as easy to say, I'm going to kill this today. This is going to be the best thing I've ever done. This is going to be the interview that moves more people than any time I've ever talked to anybody. I mean, it's just as easy, but it takes work. Like Scott Hall say to me sometimes, just over the years, and so Dally, you're so fucking positive. You know, I'm like, Scott, you ask, how do you do it? It's like, dude, I work at it. You know,
right.
Just like I work at DDP yoga to make my body stronger and feel better. Just like I lifted weights when I wanted to gain size. And I had to hit the gym hard, you know, and I had to eat a lot of protein, a lot of food to do that. But when I first started to learn how to read at 31 years old, I had to work at it every day for decades.
Learning how to read, you said?
I was reading at third grade level to age 30.
How does that happen?
Well, if you grow up ADD and dyslexic at a time when no one knows what the hell ADD or dyslexia is, and well, they just thought we were stupid, but I'm obviously not a stupid guy.
No.
You know, but my point is that in school, I mean, I graduated 288 out of 289. So, I mean, you talk about just skimming my way through because
right.
I couldn't read. And
did you not have any kind of drive, or you just couldn't?
No,
do it?
I tried, but I'm proud. Dude, my whole life is drive.
Yeah.
You know, I just see it differently. I don't get it. I don't have the focus. You know, and there was points in my life where, you know, that was my story. And at 31, I said, I'm going to change this story. I can't read that well today. But I'm going to get better every fucking day.
I read that you didn't actually begin your wrestling career until you were 35. So I guess you're a late bloomer.
Well, you know, late when it came to the point of focus, because I was running nightclubs by the time I was 22. I was running big nightclubs by the time I was 24. So my focus just was somewhere else. I mean, to me, the only reason I was a kid and I tried wrestling when I was 22, the only reason that I really wanted to be a wrestler besides loving it as a kid, I wanted to make enough money to own my own bar so I could fuck all the broads. I mean, that's what guys do, right?
I think everyone at some point has the goal to own their own bar. I think that's a thing that happens for everyone.
Right. And, you know, but when you're a kid, you know, if you're straight, you know, then you do things for women. You know, if you're gay, you may do things for guys. I don't know how that works, but I do know that if you're a guy, you play in a band to get girls.
Oh, yeah.
If you play sports, to get girls, you know, to get more popular. So, you know, when it comes to the nightclub business, I was already in that world and living the dream at a different level. But at 31... I decided, you know, I try wrestling again, but this time as a wrestling manager. And I made up a videotape of me and three guys who wanted to be wrestlers. And I sent it to the AWA. Everybody thought I was crazy. What are you talking about? You're trying to get into wrestling. And next thing you know, I was on ESPN announcing Bad Company. It's like, I not only, you know, it's long and involved. It just didn't happen. But over a six-month period, envisioning the positive affirmations in my brain. Like, I'll give you a quote you probably never heard, but you know who said it. The repetitions of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. You know who said that?
No.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. I guess the shorter way of saying that would be fake it till you make it.
Right. Faking it is one thing. When you're envisioning seeing it happening, like Ali, how many times do you suppose he said, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the greatest. How many times do you think he said that?
Probably a lot. I would estimate a great deal.
Yeah. A ridiculous amount. And then when they come to pick the top 100 athletes of the last century, he's number one.
Right. Well, I mean, he's told people his whole career, and they started to believe him.
Right!
And I guess
that's the whole thing.
It also helps that he was an incredible athlete. I guess I couldn't really convince anybody that I was a great athlete.
You know, but the bottom line is, he most likely wasn't the greatest athlete, but in everyone's single mind, he had that belief became a deep conviction.
Right.
That's my point. And when you put positive thoughts, visions, when you have goals that you want to turn into reality, you have to tell yourself that story. And that's where I really started to break some ground with Jake and Scott.
Yeah.
Because one day I had to figure out how would they understand what I'm trying to say from my viewpoint. You know, a guy who does work at, you know, positive affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, so let me ask you guys a question. I did it separately. So let me ask you a question. I said, before you walked out the curtain, before you walked out the locker room, before you had your boots completely tied up, what was the story going in between your ears at that time? Were you thinking, oh, my God. Oh, God, I hope I don't stick the joint out. Oh, God, I'm going to suck. I'm so nervous. Oh, my God. I don't know if I can do this. I can't do it. I can't do this. Fuck no. You're thinking, I own this building. This is the garden. This is my house. I own it. I'm going to steal the show. There ain't nobody going to follow this match.
Right. I guess that's having confidence in what that in that small section of what you can do. But when it actually comes to like making positive changes in your life, it just seems so impossible to do.
Why?
I don't know. Why would it be? I have no idea.
But I'm saying, why would it be any different? You know, before I go out and I speak, and I do an hour monologue to corporate, you know, people, kids, whatever.
Like in the mirror?
I get up on stage in front of 300 people, and they pay me fucking 10 grand to come in and talk to them. You know?
Yeah.
But every time I do that, before I walk out on stage, the inner voice says, this is going to be the best thing I've ever done. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to blow these people away. I'm going to freaking move them to action. That's what I'm saying to myself. And the last one I did, I hadn't done that talk in 2 years. So imagine coming up with an hour monologue. Do you think I could have beat myself up? Do you think, what if I forget? What if I get lost? Oh, God, I hope I don't screw this up. You can just as easily have that conversation. And that's the one most people have. But it's why they get so nervous.
So you've convinced yourself that you can do it. But do you find that it's like more difficult to convince other people? Like I feel like just because – you know, you've come from, I mean, you had like a celebrity as a pro wrestler, and you're doing this new venture now. Do you kind of feel like you constantly have to prove the legitimacy of what you're doing now?
You know, after the disabled veteran video, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really have to prove anything.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you're putting out testimonials and you know, I'm convinced.
Every day. But, I mean, I can't have enough testimonials.
Right. But that seems to be the thing is the testimonials. You're essentially saying
that's what everything is.
Guys, this is legit. But I understand that, you know, because you had, you know, your celebrity as a pro wrestler.
Let's back up. That don't really help me. Well, just so you know.
But I mean,
it doesn't really help.
You have like the accessibility of like an audience who probably
absolutely.
I mean, the guys that are fans of you from, you know, when we were teenagers and we watched wrestling, your core audience isn't going to Target to buy a yoga mat.
No, they're absolutely not going to. And
yeah.
In the beginning, none of them got my shit. Like, none of them.
So I imagine you probably had a lot of people that approached your DDP yoga like from a place of cynicism. Like, you know, let's see, you know, the wrestler guy do yoga. This will be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was some depression along the way. And there was some second guessing myself as I'm $500,000 of my own money invested in it.
Yeah.
You know, without question. But every time that I would hit that spot, I would find that way to turn myself around. I had to, you know, what Tony Robbins taught me over the years, I've listened to a lot of his shit, and I think it's really good, a lot of it. You can change your state in an instant. And what it comes down to is your physiology, your focus, what are you focusing on, and the story you tell yourself. So that whole thing is really, really, really true. Because if you watch anybody who's getting upset and crying, and look at their physiology, you know, whoa. But you literally can change it with an instant. I was getting in a fight with my wife. Come back, we were just dating. And because she was so mad about something. And I was like, you've got to let this go. You could change your state in an instant. She goes, that's crazy, babe. That's crazy. No, that's just crazy talk. I go, that's crazy talk. I said, if a publisher clearinghouse person comes to the front door right now, asks for you, and give you $250,000, can you tell me you're going to be as pissed off as you are right now? Or you're going to go, Oh my God, that's unbelievable. Oh my, you're going to completely forget about what the hell you're pissed off about. Because what will it mean 3 days from now, 3 weeks from now? What will this mean 3 months from now?
won't mean anything.
She went, right.
Right.
Because you won't even remember it. Because that's your, but you're focusing on this. So it's those series of things. It's like talking to Jake and Scott about when you were going to the ring. What story did you tell yourself? You know, if you get an interview with Scott Hall, he's going to at some point talk about the story he tells himself. Because I've been slowly, like, putting it in his brain. Stop saying that shit to yourself. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely, yeah. And so I want to hit on the app. You have an app coming out, DDP Yoga Now. It's coming out on Black Friday. Is that still accurate?
Yes, it is. And we're doing a big Black Friday sale because we always do something crazy. I do, like, you've ever seen those Crazy Eddie commercials where it's it's crazy, we're giving it away. You know, it's like
a, you know, like a car dealership commercial.
Well, yeah, but back in Jersey and New York area, there was this guy named Crazy Eddie, and he had an electronics business. This is before Best Buy or any of that shit. And when it got to his Christmas Black Friday special, he would go insane, get dressed up like Santa Claus with no beard and, you know, like a crazy Santa Claus, and, you know, do this whole Christmas special thing that he would be doing. And so we did it. And this year, we have the best green screen we ever had. We have a 30-foot green screen now. So what I did is I built the DDP Yoga Performance Center, which is more of a production studio than anything.
Yeah.
Sound stages and, you know, for the workouts, you know, the cooking shows. I built this place for the app. And I call it the house that Shark Tank built. Did you get a chance to see us on Shark Tank?
I heard that you were on it, but I did not see it.
It was amazing.
Didn't you turned them down, didn't you?
Well, no, it wasn't that. They didn't offer me a deal, but I didn't go there for a deal.
No, you went there for the advertisement.
Exactly.
Right.
For exposure.
You're on network television telling everybody about your product. You don't need to say yes to them.
Right. And Arthur's standing right next to me. You know, we just saw a little clip of what happened with him, and he went down into a complete split on the ground from nowhere.
Right.
You know, or maybe that was another show. Whatever, no, he stuck his foot over it. Whatever he did, I don't remember, but it blew their minds. I only offered 5%. They told me I'd have to offer 15 to 20% to get the Sharks' interest. I was like, I don't care. I don't really want them. You know, I'd like to charge them I'd like to charge $1 for this and let the Sharks fight over it. But they were like, listen, Dallas, you can't use the money. We can't use you. I go, no, I can use the money. You know, I was just looking for $200,000. I've spent over $750,000, almost, you know, close to $800,000.
Yeah.
On this app. And it's not an app. I'm calling it an app just because people know what an app is.
Right, right.
You know?
So you go on the show, and then the next day you start seeing orders pile in?
Well, we did $1 million in 6 days.
In 6 days? Wow.
6 days. Yeah. So, it was pretty amazing. But again, we've done over 185,000 orders in right at 4 years. So means it's real.
It's impressive. I mean, you're a success, Dallas. You're a big deal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, but we work hard. We work really, 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 really hard.
Right.
We outwork everyone. You know, and that's what I did in my wrestling career. That's what I did with my reading. My teacher told me he was 85 years old. I found at 49 years old, I was living in L.A., I found a teacher at the Aris Learning Center who was 85. And she said, no one takes home as much homework as you. Over that six-month period, I went to see her twice a week. And it really helped me a lot. And then, again, it comes down to repetition, you know?
Right.
But whether it's that or DDP Yoga or, you know, coming up with different workouts, like what's really cool about DDP Yoga now, you can get it anytime, anywhere. When you first come onto the app, you'll see the next live workout, which will really be the first one. The first live workout we're going to do from the Performance Center will be
like
beamed
a countdown?
Right to you. It'll be a countdown. And every time we're ready to, like, I finish with one live workout, I'll know exactly when the next one's going to be. So it might be, you know, 72 hours, 22, you know, minutes and 10 seconds to we go live again with another workout. And a lot of them will be 50-minute workouts, but a lot other ones will be like 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And, you know, making it – I've created a new workout for – because I have so many huge people, like really obese people, 681 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and they figure out how to get around it and do my modifications. But what I've created now is beginner, which I do around the chair, because I've watched people use chairs and couches on mm-hmm. videos.
In the movie, so I think they were using chairs.
Yep, that's yeah. how I, because I saw Arthur do it. So I set that, I just make it as easy as possible in the beginning. Make, give people wins, because when people are beat up and broken down and overweight and, you know, just, you know, haven't had a win in forever. That's where the psychological part of this whole program is really amazing, because people tell me how much confidence they have and how good they feel about themselves. And the thing is, I have you take these six pictures, and they're brutal in the beginning. And then I have you do these moves that you can't do. And then week by week, you get more flexible. Your body changes shape. Your physiology gets better. You feel better about yourself. You've got confidence. You've got wins. Like, that's what was for Jake. He's 5'7". I've heard him interview about it.
Right.
Where he said, you know, I haven't had a win in a long time. So I lost that first 7 pounds, because that was a huge win for me. And then I lost the next 10 pounds. I lost the next, like, win. Like, he hadn't had wins in 20 years.
And there you go.
So, right. And then it's just laying that out there. So the app won't just have the workouts, but it'll have a whole tracking system. And what I mean by that is, you know, pictures, measurements, blood pressure, medical, diabetic. Every time you fill those out, you're going to get points.
And that's – and you can actually – you can look at it. You can see progress, and you can say, well, shit, this is something I should continue doing.
And you're going to get points. And, like, if you do the workout, you're going to get X amount of points, depending on where you stay in your fat burning zone. If you don't have a heart monitor on, you'll get a certain amount of points. But if you're wearing a heart monitor, so now it can completely track your progress, how long you've been in the fat burning zone, how long you were in anaerobic, how long you weren't in it, completely track it. If your goal is to stay in your fat burning zone, because if you stay in your fat burning zone, you'll get double the points. And at the end of the workout, it will tabulate, okay, here's what you did, but how hard was this for you? How challenging? What would you rate this? A 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Well, today it was a 5. You know, next week it might be a 5. The week after that might be a 4. A month after that might be a 2. You're like, you're getting stronger. You're going to be able to, you know that, because it's going to track that. But as soon as you push that across, it goes to a different screen. It goes, zoop, and it flies in how long you're in your percentage you're in your fat burning zone. It flies in how many calories you burn. It flies in, bing, and gives you points like a video game. So anytime you get that, now what are the points worth? Whether it's a T-shirt, Turbis bottle, mat, you can actually acquire enough points. You can come for a weekend at my accountability group, which is where Jake and Scott were.
Right.
Now, I guarantee you, because I know all my people who do well. Like, I see someone lose 40 pounds, I get their number. I call them and congratulate them. I do it all the time. So that creates a personal relationship with these people. Like, it's, you didn't just buy the program or get the app, and I don't care. Okay, got your money. Goodbye. I don't give a fuck about the money.
Right.
The money will always come to me. I care about the progress. I care about the inspiration. Like, what was really funny when we were on this with the Sharks, they said, so in an area, and if you look at fitness, how many people that you fitness videos are out there over the last 30 years?
Oh, there's millions of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's two people who make money in that world.
Right.
Beachbody and Gaiam. Gaiam's all the yoga. There is no one else that's successful in
It's one of those things where everybody thinks they need it, but then very few people actually follow. I mean, I have an exercise bike, Dallas. I hang my clothes on it.
Everybody does. Everybody does. So the sharks say, in a business that no one is successful in, except for the two major, you know, powers, how are you guys successful? And Steve said, we inspire people. They went, yeah, that's good. But how'd you make the money? I said, we inspire people. No, but I go, no, you don't get it. Like, none of that was on TV, you know, on that segment.
Right.
You know, you don't get it. I go, by inspiring people, other people tell other people that they got to go. 20% of our sales every day is friends and family. Every day. You know, because people are telling, if we have 20% of our sales, people are telling them, and they're actually doing it, how many people are really telling so many people? You know, like, no, you don't get it. You really need to do it.
Right.
And when I look at, you know, today, you know, Beachbody is a monster. Their P90X, their Insanity, you know, sold hundreds of millions.
Is that the one you do in your door frame? The P90X? You put that in your door frame?
No, that's TRX.
Oh,
P90X is the one done by Tony Horton, and he's got like 9 different versions of it. And they make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
But their workouts, like that new workout everybody's doing, CrossFit, that beats the hell out of your body. Well, when you get later on in your 40s and your 50s, none of those people are going to be able to do any kind of a workout, anything like that. But they're going to be from the, come on, you got three more generation. Yeah. And they're going to need some kind of yoga. And they're not going to be able to do the namaste yoga because that's just not who they are.
Right.
So 99% of them are going to have to find their way at some point to DDP yoga. And you'll see DDPY out there a lot because a lot of people write that. And when that becomes like P90X, DDPY, I would rather it be called that, because if my shit wasn't called yoga right now, we just sold 100 million already.
So you think the yoga is what's freaking people out?
I think that it's the yoga that people put in a box, and you've been nice enough to call it DDP yoga every time because it ain't yoga.
Right.
You know, most yogis are very namaste, and I make the prayer sign. And then I open my fingers into the diamond cutter and say, most yogis are very namaste. DDP yoga, way more TNA. And it is tone and attitude. And I didn't make this for yogis. I made this for people who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. So after all the game stuff that I have and all the tracking system, we got cooking shows. And every day there'll be a different protein, you know, shake up there. There'll be a different, there may be a different snack. There might be a different entree. And I'm teaching people how to cook again with real food, not genetically modified poison. Teaching them how to eat what God created, or, you know, organic food, like, or what your great grandparents used to call food.
It's such a vice. It's so hard to not eat it, though. It's so there.
So I'm so glad you said
that. They're everywhere.
But again, say what you just said to me. It's so hard. You're right. You know what I mean? You're right.
I hear you.
You know, but if you go, one of my favorite movies in this one scene was Tom Hanks in League of Their Own, and Gina Davis was crying at this one point because it's so hard. And he's like, you're right. It is. It's hard. But it's the hard that makes it great. Tell me anything that you have achieved in your life that holds dear to you, something you've accomplished in your life that you hold dear to you, that was easy.
I can't. Nothing. Really. Yeah.
It doesn't exist. So when you're saying it's hard, like, well, what am I going to get out of that? Ooh, well, you might be young. How old are you right now?
I am a 33.
You're a baby, okay?
Dallas. You learned to read 2 years ago.
20 of those 33 years, you've been eating genetically modified food. Look at what has happened in the last 20 years. Just Google it. What has happened when it comes to cancer, autism,
right,
obesity, diabetes? Those numbers are off the chain. Off the chain.
I worry about my phone being in my pocket and that affecting, like, my boys, you know?
I'm glad you said that, because I can't remember what it's called. But if you email me on I'll be home on Saturday night. If you email me on Sunday, @DallasPage.com, I will tell you exactly what it is, because it looks like a piece of a rock or slate that's thin. And what it does is it blocks. It's like, this is science shit. It blocks the shit on your phone from going into your brain. I mean, it's really a big deal. You really, since you said that, if you want to know, I will give you the information so that you know.
Right.
Because,
do you want me to beep out your email address?
Please. Okay. Yeah, beep that out. Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Hey, what's your first name again?
Mike.
Mike. So, yeah. Mike, give me. Yeah, you do the Twitter thing?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your Twitter?
@WFODshow.
@WFODshow. And do me a favor. I'm gonna hit you back with a thing. Like, we're going to our VOD. We're gonna put it up. Please put it out there that it's live, blah, blah, blah. And I appreciate that, to get that out there.
Dallas, I appreciate you doing this.
Pleasure.
Yeah, good luck. DDPYogaNow.com on Black Friday, the resurrection, yep, of Jake the Snake, soon on VOD.
Absolutely, man.
Thanks,
again,
Dallas.
Appreciate you putting the word out there. And I'm glad you dug the movie, man.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was great. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Chicken shit, Dottie. You want to go back home to Oregon and make 100 babies? Great. I'm in no position to tell anyone how to live. But sneaking out like this, quitting, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Baseball is what gets inside you. It's what lights you up. You can't deny that.
It just got too hard.
It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
You're listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks radio program. Great name, asshole. Okay, there's one. Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to WFOD. Hi, this is Todd Glass, and whenever I'm on the road, I listen. I don't want to say that. It sounds horrible. That's the bumper you get, but I'm not saying it. It sounds a little too Marc Maron.
Well, I guess I've been lost for a little while. Been wandering around in the snow. And the wind, it howls and she breaks my bones. Winter is wrapped around my soul. I've been searching for a little while. What I'm searching for, I do not know. Won't you come search with me on this cold winter's eve? Pretend we've got nowhere else to go. So won't you walk with me? Get lost with me. Get drunk with me.
Well, there it was, guys. Diamond Dallas Page. Check out DDPYogaNow.com. Black Friday, the big sale coming up. It was a thrill to me.
I know you were worried about it, because you said that DDP, I mean, back in the day when you know, I think you said you were more of a wrestling fan then, like, you'd see, like, he was your guy.
Oh, yeah, man. I was doing the diamonds with my hands and the whole deal.
I'm still very upset that you didn't bring up the motion picture Ready to Rumble.
That's what I was getting from you. It's just constant reminders that I need to bring up the movie Ready to Rumble to Diamond Dallas Page. I got messages after messages from Travis. Hey, you're going to bring up Ready to Rumble, right? Well, that was your only input into the interview, is that I need to bring up Ready to Rumble, starring Scott Kahn and David Arquette.
I absolutely love that movie. And the first time that you said, hey, I think I got a line on DDP because he's, you know, he's promoting his DDP yoga and he's promoting it. And I was like, all I could think of immediately was that he was the bad guy in the motion picture Ready to Rumble, and how much I absolutely love that movie starring Scott Kahn and David Arquette.
I think you're the one.
Oliver Platt.
Did anybody go
King.
See that movie? That wasn't a popular movie.
I never went and saw it. I bought the DVD when I used to be addicted to buying any DVD that came out that week.
Yeah.
And it was one of my pleasant surprises. Like, my 20-year-old self was like, I watched that movie and it was automatically one of my go-tos.
Was it all about wrestling?
It was all... The whole premise is Scott Kahn and David Arquette are, like, major wrestling fans. Like, this is, like, the Detroit Rock City of wrestling movies, okay? They're, like, huge wrestling fans, and Oliver Platt is the King. He's essentially, like, Jerry the King Lawler. He's called the King.
So he's a wrestler?
He's a wrestler in it. Oliver Platt's the wrestler in the... He's, like, the main guy that they're trying to get in. So, like, these guys hold him in the highest of regards. Like, they live and breathe this guy. And Vince McMahon decides to tell Diamond
the real
Dallas Page,
Vince McMahon.
Oh, it's full of real wrestlers. The real Vince McMahon. It wasn't Vince McMahon. It was Joey Pantoliano playing kind of an evil wrestling guy. And they decide King is no longer relevant.
I hate
and it's
to interrupt
time...
you, Travis.
Yeah,
but you mentioned Joe Pantoliano. I can't bring that up because that's an episode that hasn't aired yet.
That'll happen in the future.
Guys, in a future episode coming up very soon, Travis mentions Joe Pantoliano again.
Isn't it crazy? It's like serendipity. Like, I think Joey Pants is he's the link between show to show to show from now on, I think. I'm going to find a new way to inject.
It's like Drunk and Stacey Keach.
Nobody talks about this person. And,
Drunk insists on getting a Stacey Keach reference in at least once a month.
That's
so you were telling me about Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, so anyway,
Oliver Platt
evil guy decides to get Oliver Platt, the King, the main wrestler, out of there. He's like, okay, we're going to throw – he tells the King, yep, you're going to win. And he gets together Diamond Dallas Page and his posse of evil wrestlers.
Is Diamond Dallas Page Diamond Dallas Page?
Oh, yeah, he's DDP. He's Goldberg's in there, Sting's in there.
But he's an evil DDP.
Yes. DDP is the bad guy. And he gets them together, and he decides, like, we're going to take him out. Like, we're really going to hurt him. We're going to kick him out. He's no longer relevant. Gone. So the guys who are super fans of the King see this, and they are completely depressed and destroyed, and they're so angry at DDP and his posse that they go and find the King, who really is just a trailer trash redneck alcoholic who doesn't give two shits except the fact that his wrestling paycheck is no longer coming in. So they try to Rocky montage him back to wrestling so he can go back and take his belt back from DDP.
From DDP and Goldberg.
Right. And comedy ensues along the way.
Now I have to see this movie. Now I'm excited about it.
It's great. I love it. I absolutely love it. There's a slushy gag in it that I think you'll really enjoy. It's a lot like the Mallrats.
Is it
chocolate.
Slapsticky?
There's,
I mean, it's a stupid movie, right?
It's absolutely stupid. Like, David Arquette and Scott Kahn act like assholes through the whole thing. I mean, it's not quite Billy Madison dumb character kind of thing, but it's borderline. I love it. And you didn't ask him about it.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
So you see how much I love this movie.
It's obvious now.
Actually, I should probably revisit it. Last time I saw it was a long time ago.
Well, guys, be sure to check out all of our past episodes. If you're a new listener, thank you. a happy Thanksgiving to yous. And we'll see you Monday live on strangelabel.com. All the other great shows on strangelabel.com. Strangelabel.com, strangelabel.com. Travis?
That's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. And follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.